You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have the chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik, in the studio with me today. Good afternoon, Mike. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's been an interesting year for the county, for our community, for everyone in general, and we're going to spend this segment just going over some of the things that stood out for Dakota County in your perspective through the last year. What kind of things happened in the county? Other, you know, we'll talk about COVID, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But what else happened that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I would say 2020 was definitely a year for the record books, that's for sure.
And yeah.
You know, so we started January, and my colleagues had elected me as chair of the county board for 2020. And we were going through, had some high hopes. We had just passed the budget a couple weeks earlier, and elections were coming up. There were a lot of great stuff we were looking forward to. But we had kind of an interesting perspective in our January, February, not really having COVID on the radar. We had said, it's been a whole lot of years without a recession, and we think something's going to happen. And we should spend some time as a county and as staff working on trying to figure out to be best positioned when the next economic downturn happens. I hope we didn't jinx it. But
no, that's where it all came from. Is that what you're saying?
Some of this goes back to the last great recession we had back in 2008 to 2010.
Sure, sure.
There were some opportunities that the county wishes we would have taken advantage of when prices were extra low and we had some resources, and we did many of them, but we said, you know, we want to make sure that we take advantage of the opportunity to spend when people aren't spending, to save when people are spending, and kind of really try to get the best bang for the buck for the taxpayers, and kind of think longer term, think 20 years out, versus just kind of reacting to what happened.
Sure.
Which is what happened during the Great Recession, is we didn't, we were just everybody in the mode of, it was crisis mode.
Yeah. And doing the planning then in January, were you planning for something as close as COVID turned out to be, or were those plans more a kind of a down the road look at what was going on?
So we had the workshop scheduled in March, which did not happen. So it was interesting that at least at a staff level and a very high level of the board, we were already thinking some of the ways of how to respond and react to a crisis. And that was helpful, but we never were able to implement something at that point, because as we know, the first thing that really hit the county board was in March, when we had the first cases of COVID and shutdowns, and how we would address that. And that kind of totally switched gears, as it did for all parts of the world, I think.
Yeah, it did.
We were no different.
And I remember that particular month, March, April, February, March, and April, there was really no warning. It was, you know, something's on the horizon. And next thing we know, we were being shut down and told to stay at home and shelter in place. Did the county get any kind of an advance warning from the state on that, any more than the general public did?
Not really. So our public health was keeping an eye on it, but it was very much like what they do in every situation, from H1N1 to measles to the when hepatitis was kind of an outbreak, and whooping cough. They're always kind of on top of that. I mean, I think it's important to note that we have a public health staff of over 50 employees. Mm-hmm. That this is kind of what they do. And they were aware and actually had implemented their crisis center in January, but it had not gotten to a level where the policymakers, we were thinking of it. It was really when the governor on the 13th of March went and said, this is a bigger deal. And we started things shutting down. And then, as you recall, on the 17th of March, I declared a state of emergency for Dakota County.
Yes.
Which we're different than the state legislature and how they do things with the state level, but we're still in effect based on my emergency order of March 17th. It's just, we don't go and renew it every month. And,
right.
And also, I don't make decisions without the rest of the board
right.
being on board with them. So,
right.
So that really is what kind of changed our outward external approach to how we were addressing COVID, but internally, they were already on top of this from back in January.
Okay. Yeah, because I believe that the information started coming out actually a year ago in December, where the first rumblings of something's happening, we need to maybe keep an eye on this.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, too, as we mix the downturn of COVID or the impacts of COVID, probably be a better way to put it, and the planning the county did beforehand, mm-hmm. that it still remains a county that is, we don't have any bonds in Dakota County. You've been able to maintain that through setting up the budget for the next year coming up, in spite of the lack of resources coming in from revenue during the pandemic.
Yes, we were well positioned before, and mm-hmm. did that we were able to maintain debt free. And when we talk in a later segment about the budget, we were able to continue that for next year. And that helped us with it. And a lot of what we were trying to see is where do the bids come in? For example, we had some construction bids that that this summer actually were quite favorable because mm-hmm. our buildings were in essence not well used, so they were able to do a lot of these things and projects that they were going to figure they were going to have to move and kind of work around people and general customers. They were able to just get done in half the time, and there was some cost savings as a result of that. So we did get some savings as a result of COVID-19.
Yes, of course. We also, as we're talking about things, significant events in the year, there was the attack on the Apple Valley County building after the whole George Floyd incident in Minneapolis. Talk about that one a little bit.
Yeah, so that was at that end of May. Dakota County was I would say that's probably moving to where we are next. Is that we had two individuals who went and who firebombed the Western Service Center, and mm-hmm. One has already been charged.
Yeah.
They're both in custody by their poor planning, I guess. They went and decided to firebomb a courthouse next to the Apple Valley Police Department. So
right.
when the alarms went off in Dakota County, they were still at the scene and mm-hmm. Were able to be apprehended very quickly on that. But that just certainly changed just what had happened in Dakota County and how we were looking. We were already working on some inclusion and diversity conversations amongst employees and what that did. But that's kind of...
accelerated
it certainly jump-started where we were on
sure
on just kind of that conversation, and I think you'll see more in 2021. But the that was certainly a story for the county, and fortunately in this case they were on site, so we were able to apprehend quickly and work on that. But the but that kind of, you know, right days later is when we had to go and do a countywide curfew because of the civil unrest that was going on in Minneapolis. Yep. And was not able to be managed. We were very concerned just being across the river, and
mm-hmm.
In partnership with Sheriff Leslie and the county, we went and worked with our local police chiefs, and it was something that worked well. We were attacked and a couple different occasions, but they were able to be with a curfew in place. They were able to be immediately extinguished.
Right. We did, like you say, we did see some of the unrest that spilled out of Minneapolis mm-hmm. and St. Mm-hmm. Paul. But kudos to the law enforcement division and mm-hmm. taking care of the incidents that did flare up. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we weathered that storm quite well in the county.
It was a little hard when it was going on, though, I will be honest with you.
Undoubtedly. Just remind me a little bit, did Dakota County send any officers up into Minneapolis to assist?
So at that point, we had not. We had had... officers that were over in Oakdale at the officer's home. So we did. We were there, and there was a little bit in St. Paul that mm-hmm. was done. But when it was coming to the point where Minneapolis and St. Paul were not able to handle their own situation on their own, and the National Guard came in, our own law enforcement agencies and the county sheriff said we need to kind of take care of our own home first.
Right.
That's where they had encouraged and asked for the curfew and I think I've shared this story with you maybe off air, but it was kind of when the 5th Precinct was being attacked that night, it was before the National Guard had shown up, and it was 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota County, we have law enforcement officers that were saying they've never been as quiet a night as what was at that time. You know, it was just people stayed home. And they were paying attention, but they stayed home. And about 11 o'clock when the National Guard started coming into Minneapolis, they all jumped in cars, and there was like carloads going over the Mendota Bridge coming into, at that time, mm-hmm. coming into Eagan. There was a couple targets that they were going after, and all they ran into was law enforcement. And
right.
They tried hitting one of the establishments about four times, and they hit an entrance, and they were basically all they saw were shut down, and they went to the next entrance, and and it was it worked. It was the way it was supposed to be done, and I know it's the biggest challenge that we've had, because you know, for me, as somebody who really believes that, you know, we need to protect those freedoms, this was one of those cases where, you know, the safety of the greater good was so important.
And, exactly.
And the fact of, as I told Sheriff Leslie, I said, if it wasn't for the fact that how much I trusted his judgment, I said it would have been much harder for me to go in and give that order as chair of the board. And but it was it worked to the favor of Dakota County like it was supposed to, and we were able to maintain law and order and safety in our county.
And it worked very well. I don't remember hearing much of anything regarding that whole situation spilling over into Dakota County. As we move on through the year, we get to July and August, and COVID is still going on, and the federal money comes down. There's that $52 million boost that the federal government provided for the county. Go over that one a little bit again on how the county helped out businesses in the area.
Sure. So our goal was to use about half of the money external, half of the money internal. And for the external money, one of the first things we did was support small businesses. Just over $14 million went out the door in grants of up to $15,000 to small businesses in Dakota County. So that was businesses under 50 employees that were able to receive that. Just at our very last county board meeting, we had actually done an additional with the governor's newest orders. We committed $2 million out of our own bank account, not the CARES money, to any business that had an on-sale liquor license that was forced to shut down within the county as a result of the governor's orders. We cut $5,000 checks. So there's about 300 to 400 of those businesses in Dakota County, and they just, we notified them all individually and said, if you're fit this criteria, fill out this form. And we were able to, I believe the turnaround has been about 2 days from when they get the application. Our goal was to get $2 million out the door in 2020 with 2 weeks ago. So we made that decision on December 17th. So that's been some of the, what we've been able to do on the business side. We also did just under $3 million to school districts that we were able to help out there. So Hastings Public Schools got a chunk of money that we were able to send. And we did about $37 for every student within the school district.
Okay.
To all of our charter schools and our public schools.
And who came up with that? How did that number get arrived? How did you arrive at that number of the 37 per student?
Well, we were originally shooting for, I believe it was 25, and then we had a few businesses that didn't, there was a chunk of that money that businesses were not stepping up to take. So we ended up having about roughly $1 million left, or about 800,000 it ended up being, because we had committed 15 million for small businesses, and about 4.2, 4.3 went out the door. So we said, well, we don't want to give it back to the governor, so we so we instead said, well, the school districts are part of what make Dakota County a great place to live, so let's help them out too.
All right. So and as the year unfolded, you know, we're all concentrating on what's going on with COVID, what's going on with George Floyd. Tell me a little bit about some of the personnel in the county that really stood out and made a difference in their areas.
I think you can't go without talking about our public health,
right?
Because of you know, they've taken, you know, that we created our own public health hotline for COVID. We're one of only three counties in the whole state that did that, and they got almost 1,500 phone calls that, and you could always call the state with questions, but we went and said we're going to do our own with our own experts. They've been on the front edge. In fact, the Department of Health goes to Dakota County and our staff on some of the things in terms of the vaccines that will be dispersed in the coming days, weeks, and months. They're actually using our some of our staff as some of the lead on that aspect with there. So we've been able to stand out about that. Our public health director went, and, you know, she actually has her PhD in public health. She takes this serious, and she's just a shining star for the county. But I think also, you know, quite frankly, our 1,900 employees in general have just done an amazing job. And also to take note of that is we're about 100 employees down. Some of our cost savings was the hiring freeze. So other employees and other parts in there, we've held off We're starting to hire some of those positions back, but for a long time, we weren't filling any positions. And as a result, people were having to work extra hard with that. So
and they stepped up.
And they stepped up and did that. So they're, I would say that the other part where the Publix has seen the most has been our service centers for like the licenses, the elections.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those have been absolutely top notch in this and the amount of people going through. And then our park keepers, because we'll talk our we had almost, our estimate is about 2.3 million visitors to Dakota County parks in 2020. And that's, we haven't got the exact number in there, but I believe that's about 600,000 more people to our county parks this year.
Well, when you have to stay home and you're not allowed to go to work and all that stuff, you got to get out and do something. And Dakota County parks and open spaces are a wonderful place. I'm still wanting to get down and check out Whitetail Woods a little bit myself.
It's absolutely amazing. And I think that's the other thing that we were able to do in our year in the review is it was construction season. We still were able to do that. We did a
camper cabins.
About a $5+ million upgrade to Whitetail Woods, a $5+ million upgrade to Lake Bilsby Regional Park. We had about $75 million in road construction projects and
even refurbishing the turbines on the Lake Bilsby Dam.
Yeah, it took a long time, but we got a great bonding. You know, so we've spent a lot of time at the legislature, and the turbines we've opened up the bubble wrap, and they're working on being transported in this winter. So the $30 million turbine replacement at Lake Bilsby Hydroelectric Power Dam that the county owns will be replaced. And
who are most of the customers of that hydroelectric dam, do you know?
So as of now, we sell all of our electricity to Xcel Energy.
Okay.
So it might be, you know, people, maybe you, but
station,
yeah. So what we're able to do is the new turbines will be basically the equivalent of about 2 Cannon Falls. That's the amount of power they'll generate. So.
And when is that supposed to be completed then, in the spring?
So it'll take about a full year.
Okay.
So it'll be spring of 2022 when it will all be done.
Nice.
So
we have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to know if there was anything else that you wanted to bring up in our year-end review of what the Dakota County has accomplished.
Well, I guess I would start by just saying we talked a lot of the great work that staff did in this, but I also want to just share, as I'm coming to the end of my time, next week I'll already be handing over the gavel to Commissioner Mary Liz Holberg out of Lakeville as the next chair for 2021.
Nice.
And
okay.
So we've had an amazing staff and senior leadership who've just stepped up. But my colleagues, I mean, not every level of government has a team that works well together. And we don't always agree, which I think actually makes us work.
That's a given.
I think that makes us better because we don't always agree.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of, you know, boards out there where they all agree one way or the other, but you don't necessarily get the best policy decisions, but my colleagues go in and we work well together. We've been very fortunate because we've had a meeting pretty much every week. We're usually on about an every other week schedule. And as chair, I called a lot of special meetings to figure out CARES money and how we were going to handle things. So I would just want to kudos to my colleagues. And, you know, next year we'll have two new colleagues. We have a retirement and through an election, a replacement. So our board will have some new faces next year in 2021, but at least my colleagues of today have really stepped up and very proud of all the work we've done together.
Excellent. I have to take a break here. We have to be done with this segment. I would like to thank my guest for this segment, Chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik. Thank you for coming in. You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.